Okay.
A motion was made and seconded to come out of executive session. We're now back in regular session for Kearney County Commission.
Motion to postpone to a definite time the executive session to 2:15 today. And that's the same listings of the section.
Second. Motion's been made and seconded to postpone to a definite time of 2:15 today. Executive session, which deals with Section 610.021, subsections 1, 2, 3, and 12. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Let the record show that all three county commissioners voted aye. All those opposed say nay. Motion carried unanimously.
All right, so we're back on schedule with only 3 minutes behind.
Next agendized item is computerized temperature control discussion, and we have with us Debbie Redford. Hi, Debbie.
Hi.
Welcome.
Well, thank you very much. I had emailed you, I believe, you should have copies of performance versus non-performance contracts, but do you have it?
I
do. I've got another copy. Okay.
I do.
Well, let us have that anyway, if you have an extra.
Yes.
And because mine's in here.
Yeah, mine's upstairs.
Thank you.
I will not claim to be an expert on any of this. I was just trying to simplify the difference between the two. Of the performance versus non-performance. I don't know if you want to go through each one or if you just want to look at that.
I read what you sent before, and then I'm just refreshing.
I will tell you, too, there is money available through DNR. They still have some of their low-cost loans available that you all could apply for. I think the loans go up to a max of $250,000. The school got a loan, trying to think what our amount was. It was in the $60,000 range. And there's only, it was a 0% interest with a 1%, kind of a 1% handling fee. So that's also a possibility for you to use. There's no guarantee that you would get the full amount that you would ask for because of the competition with the loans. But that, I do know that's how a number of entities have been able to finance. The other thing I also wanted to show you was we got our first year annual savings report in regards to the system we put in at the high school and junior high, middle school. It's really not a first year because they just finished at the high school in December, but at least shows you what the savings is.
And Debbie's referring to the savings that we went through with the Hollister School and the courthouse and the
right,
all the other things.
Right. That shows what our actual utility savings was as a result. Breaking down both of the buildings. I approach everything that I examine from a logic model. It's because I'm an old debate coach, so that's just what I do. So what I try to do with the performance versus the non-performance explanation is to simply show the logic versus of the non-performance versus the performance. I do know, I believe I put someone in there as a possibility to contact at Ozark Schools, because of some experience they've had with performance versus the non-performance, and his contact information is there. Columbia Schools, I understand, also did a performance-based project that ended up going like 24%, cost them 24% of the project, and it was such huge numbers that you may have to do some calling around to find out.
Well, I read what you sent us and what you've given us a hard copy of today,
mm-hmm.
and I really wish you'd get off the fence and get an opinion.
I'm just trying to point out. We went the non-performance route, and, you know, the performance route would have cost us more than $100,000 extra dollars, which obviously for a school district, we were much better off spending that on teachers than on paying someone to do the performance contract, and it still came through that. I mean, obviously, I think the figures speak for themselves in regards to the performance.
Well, she weaves a compelling argument. Do you not agree when you read through differences between
performance and... And I had done some research back in 2009 when I first came on board to look at performance versus non-performance, and talking to different entities and who, I mean, recently City of Branson went with a performance-based evaluation versus a non-performance. So I assume that there's probably, based off of the need and based off of the environment, probably one could be better than the other. I think in our situation, the non-performance contract is probably better. I mean, I would assume, but that's how I look at it.
Why do you say that in our particular situation, the non-performance contract is probably better?
Well, I can start with...
Well, we've got that decision to make, and if that's your argument, I'm...
Well, my argument is this. It's... And I'll, and this is probably going to offend some of the performance contracting people. I'm always a little apprehensive about making sure that the savings on a performance-based contract are there. And so there's different ways to make the numbers work. And my sales background tells me that you can make a pretty good argument on a performance if you were able to, I wouldn't say manipulate the numbers, or just present the numbers differently. In our situation, I don't know if we can clearly define what we're trying to get. We know areas of needs, but the cost of the assessment, and I have to pull all my notes back out, but I think in our situation where we've got such a variety of systems and needs, not just HVAC, I think the best way for us to do it is, and because of the different age of all the equipment, I think it's best that we go with a non-performance contract so that they can do individual assessments based off of the units versus an overall savings. That's my first initial swipe at it, is that I would think we would be better in a non-performance. I mean, I've interviewed different performance contractors back, like I said, in 2009.
Well, Jim, we went through three or four of those that came in and give them the valuation. I kind of agree with you because we got such diverse
systems.
Yeah, diverse systems that are already in place. And
I do know with some of the performance contractors, not all of them, but they go through and do the analysis, and you pay for that, and you end up paying whether you implement or not.
And that was part of my statement I was going to make, is that everybody I talked to on the performance side needed to do a complete evaluation of each system we had, and which you pay for, and then we then make a decision based off of each evaluations, which ones we want to do or not do, and that therefore, like Debbie was saying, is then we're paying for possibly or potentially areas of the buildings that we chose aren't a good enough return, but we paid for the evaluations. So I'd rather pay for based off of what we know and what they see without charging a bunch of analysis work and through administrative costs and things like that. Am I saying that right, Debbie?
Exactly. Okay. To me, you go with someone that has a track record that can show you whoever it is that can show you this is the savings we've been able to gain from these, then you can obviously check with all those jobs and make sure all those figures are accurate. So the concept of paying that middle person to guarantee that will happen, plus there's just a lot of hidden costs that go into marking up with performance contracting.
If I'm not mistaken also on the performance, and this is all starting to come back to me here, you're basically, for the performance contract to actually work, you're basically agreeing to usages, and basically you're creating an environment, or you're, I guess, putting down on paper what you use the system for based off hours, usage, and all that. If you vary from that prediction, then the performance guarantee, and I put that in quotes, is adjusted appropriately. So basically, if you use more, say we have a light summer where we don't use the air conditioner as much, okay? Well then, and if they're guaranteeing 35% savings, but we don't use as much the air conditioner because it wasn't as hot, then they adjust down their performance guarantees because we didn't guarantee, we didn't use like we thought we were going to use. Therefore, the savings weren't as big as we thought they were. And all of a sudden, your performance is a moving target.
That's exactly right. That's how it works.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, for example, if you, like with the justice system or the judicial center, if you predict it's going to be half full, and in the next year and a half, it ends up 100%,
right,
the whole thing is readjusted. There's no guarantee in terms of the same savings because they adjust for everything that occurs that's a variance from what you told them it was going to be.
But aren't some of those contractors paid based upon whatever those savings are? So they, in fact, am I thinking wrong, Debbie? Can you not develop a contract wherein their payment is derived from the savings that the county has on utility bills, et cetera?
Yes, I mean, that's basically the concept of the performance. Problem is, if you don't meet the criteria that you set up before the contract started, if you use less or more, they may get more of the savings. Let's say the overall savings was less. They're guaranteed basically X amount of dollars. So we wouldn't see the net savings if we had lower usages. So more goes to administrative fees, and so we don't see our return on investment is years down the road, if at all. And that's not for all performance. I don't want to say that's for across the board, but those are some of the stories I had heard over time with talking to different vendors. But anyway, so thinking through everything and the variety of systems we've got, that's why I was leaning toward the performance versus needing to getting basically an evaluation on every piece of equipment we have, then for us to make a decision if we want to do that or not.
And I'd suggest that one of you call Kevin Patterson, the gentleman from Ozark, and talk to him because he's had the more recent experience.
Yeah, we have. Yes. Part of the discussions, Ron, about the performance versus non-performance is also talking about specifically computerized, and that's what computerized versus non-computerized type temperature control systems, which you guys went through that, Debbie,
right,
at Hollisher, and I wanted to make sure we had spent some time on where you guys saw your net savings.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was a big place where you saw savings,
mm-hmm,
on a non-performance agreement.
Right. I think it was, the high school was 17% January through April. Yeah.
Just what you're looking at.
Yes.
22.
It breaks it down into the two different facilities.
Yeah. That's why we have it posted two different things. We wanted to talk about performance, non-performance, but I also wanted to specifically talk about the computer, what Hollisher saw specifically through your vendor.
Right. I take it back. At the high school, it was 22%. Now, that's since December when it was completed.
And you're looking, and these are, I mean, just for clarification, these are for, you're looking at utility bills.
Right, exactly.
Based off of current usage, whatever your usage is,
Right.
You're seeing a net savings of that.
Right.
Okay.
And that's projected then through the first year with that 22% of being a little over $63,000.
Saving.
At the savings at that amount. And at the junior high middle school, the utility savings is 17%, and that's projected through the first year of being almost $45,000. So
you're looking at about $100,000 savings through the first year.
Right.
What did the infrastructure cost you?
$460,000,
so
I believe.
Within 5 years, you're going to pay for the system.
Right.
And on year six, it's all savings.
The original projection was that it would take 7 years.
Okay.
And it appears now it'll be between 4.5 and 5.
And that was through a non-performance and them specifically looking at the mechanics of your heating and HVAC needs.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly.
Which, Danny, obviously we were messing with the thermostat earlier.
Yeah.
That's the big problem we've got is, you know, they're not being, we have computerized, or I should say programmable thermostats, and they're programmed all over the place.
Right. And people messing with them all the time.
Well, and I think the variance is, I want to say it's either 4 or 5 degrees that you're allowed within, but it sets within that range.
Right.
In regards to comfort. Now, I have not heard people complain, at least at the high school building where I'm located, about that.
Right.
You know, some teachers like a room cooler, some like it warmer.
And you've got some, I think in talking to these gentlemen you used, you can set some dampers that you can actually let a little less air go in if you want a warmer room. You know, or less, more air.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little bit of, that's how you get your 3 or 4 to 5% degree change. But
mm-hmm.
Anyway, just looking at the way we're laid out, we've got so many disparate systems and so many, I mean, we're all spread out over a major campus like you guys were. It just seems like we'd pay a lot for the assessment part before we even start doing the implementation part, and the savings may not be there. And because let's be real honest and transparent here, is that if you're a performance-based contractor, you're going to get your money back some way.
Exactly.
You have to get your money back. They don't do this and stay in business without making money. So I would rather just pay for what we need and forget the performance side of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and especially if you're working with a contractor who has a track record that I mean, there's a whole page of schools you can look at in terms of what their savings have been, and several courthouses,
and courthouses
too.
Right.
Now, if you were working with somebody who's just new on the block and hasn't been in business for a while, that might be something you might want to consider for
right.
the guarantee.
I'm going to look over your body, your document real fast, Debbie here. How do you guys manage it? Just do you have a centralized system? I mean, talk about more of the mechanics. Do you have thermostats still in the buildings? So you just aren't touchable. They aren't adjustable. Is that correct?
Well, they've got some adjustment. Like I said, it's either a 4 or 5 degree span.
So your thermostats are different because it's basically when you went through the system and replaced it, your thermostats have a little bit of a variance, but it's still managed by a central system.
Right, and it is located the head of maintenance. Goes through training. I mean, the company provides the training. And so if you have any problem, like at the school, for example, when we're on two-week break, if there were something that would shut down, it is synced. I believe it's a one-hour alarm system that after an hour, if it's shut on and it hasn't come back on, like if there should be a lightning strike or something,
right.
or a power outage, then it sends an alarm to his phone so that he knows.
Okay.
So that you don't have a problem on a bitterly cold day with a system going down at 1 in the morning or on a Saturday and something happened, so that you know exactly, and it sends that alarm to his phone with a code so that he knows which building it's in and what part of the building that there's a problem.
Is there any, when you talk like that, is there, I guess we could visit with our insurance company, see if there's any discount for having some alarm system like that.
You know, I don't know. I haven't heard
that.
Looks
to me like it would be.
Yeah.
It would be very beneficial to to know for.
So that you don't have pipes breaking during a lengthy, yeah. I don't know, but it would seem to make sense.
Mm-hmm. So as I take it, your recommendation, and I see what you put in here, but you're really recommending that we call this person at the other school and visit with them.
In
as
Ozark, matter of fact, from what I understand, because he would be much more of an expert on it than I'm on.
Okay.
I have a pretty superficial understanding of it compared to, he is, I think, operations manager for Ozark Schools.
Okay.
Which way are you leaning, Danny?
Non-performance. Yeah. The other way we're going out for a bid for an engineer, and then we're going to have to end up, or basically we're going to have to get all the, they're going to have to hire all the subs and all that kind of stuff before we.
Do you think we should, since Ron doesn't make motions, I'll ask you here.
I have the ability to do
I
that.
Know. I very seldom.
I know how to do that.
Do you want to work with Renee and maybe Debbie and work on a non-performance type RFQ or RFP or something? Or what do you want to do first?
First thing I want to do is call this, take her recommendation.
Okay.
And call this Kevin at Ozark Schools.
Okay.
Get a little bit more and then make a motion to do something.
So you just want to, how about reposting this? You want to repost it for
Thursday or something?
Thursday or Monday? What do you want to do?
That'd be fine. And let's make contact with them and see.
Okay. I'll just repost it for Monday, and that way you can have your answers, and if that's all right with you. We'll do it for Monday. That gives you enough time because.
Right. I don't know.
They may be out.
They may be out, but their summer school will be starting.
Right, but
by
that's,
next
a,
week.
That's some time for them to be on vacation or time off or something like that. That may be.
So it's my understanding we're going to have that discussion with this gentleman before we enter into a motion of whether or not non-performance or performance.
Right, that's what I would like to
okay.
do, to take her recommendation, and that's what I see it is, and then visit with them and decide at that point.
Okay, I'll tell us to repost it for Monday.
But that's the way I'm leaning when you ask me that, Jim.
Well, and that's the way I'm leaning too. I mean, I'm prepared to make a motion to go for us to start an RFP process, but I think talking to that individual will help get some guidance before we make the motion. So
right.
I'm good with waiting too. That's going to be the 6th.
Is that an RFP or an RFQ, Debbie?
It's an RFQ.
Yeah.
Qualifications? A proposal, but one proposal, which we vote on, we award proposals.
Well, this, if I'm not mistaken, what I read and the information you sent me, we go
the
through the qualifications
the
process to pick an engineer who, in fact, does everything that we
and
set forth.
And he puts the RFP together for
we,
you.
We go through this.
Yeah, I thought you had
I mean,
all of that.
I
thought we did, too.
We may have already, you may want to go ahead and call the guy.
Mm-hmm.
We may have everything we need to move forward.
I thought you'd done your RFQs and had that from the engineers.
You know, I'll take that action to see if we've what we've done in the past.
Is that the demos that we were talking about, Jim? That
well,
we
not too long. No, what started not too long ago. We did something RFP or RFQ.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember the wording was, and we had some proposals back, and that spurred the conversation. Are we ready to go with performance and non-performance? That's how kind of this we got to this point.
Right.
I thought Linda had worked with you and maybe Renee to work on some wording.
Yeah, I had sent her an example of an RFQ.
Okay.
And I don't know where it went from there, but I thought it had already gone out and that you'd received.
Well, then we may be having a.
So you may be further than.
Well, we'll wait. We'll repost for Monday, and that way we can
research.
That way we'll have all of our information
yeah.
together.
Yeah. Sounds good. All right, I've asked to repost.
That's yours. Thank you.
All right.
Debbie, thank you very much and for all the work that you've put in on this. It was really helpful to me when I read through that.
I took a lot of complicated stuff and had to dummy proof it for me so I could understand it. And so then I tried not to be superficial with it, but just to explain the pros and the cons and
That's the nicest way I've ever heard anyone say, I simplified it so you could understand it.
I like your way better.
Well, I had to understand it first, so.
Which was really helpful for me to understand it, and I appreciate that.
Can I ask you to email me this?
Sure.
Would you email that to me?
Absolutely.
I'd like to have it on file.
Quite frankly, I think she did.
Did you email this to me?
Not to you. I emailed it to Julian.
Okay, well, I'll get
Julian
it from her.
And,
she sent it to me, then.
Nikki, I think Jillian and Nikki both have a copy of it, but I can redo it when I get back to school.
Okay. Well, if one of us have it, one of the ladies upstairs have it, then I can get it.
It was in a packet for all of us.
Well, I just wanted it electronically is what I was trying to do.
I try not to fill up. I figure you get enough emails, so I try to send to them and let them filter.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Nikki asked me if she had read it.
I'm pretty sure they sent it through to us, Jim. That's where
Now that you said that, I think so.
We've got a small period of time here with about 15 minutes before we have to come right back to Debbie.
No, we're done with Debbie.
FEMA.
No, she has the Hollister School District.
The FEMA
hazard
thing.
Mitigation.
Okay. Well, then, can she just sit here while I ask a question? We've been asked by the accounts payable department to, they're saying the motion, they would like a clearer motion on the new recalculated TIF payments, but I thought that, wasn't the motion clear enough or not? So they can pay off that motion, is that correct? Even though the check numbers, I think their question was the check numbers have changed and they're outside that range that we approved.
Well, if they're asking for us to approve the new check numbers, that's an easy thing for us to do.
Okay, well, then that's what they're asking us to do. Can I go ahead and do that?
Yes, sir.
Motion to approve check numbers for payment. Check numbers 324698, 324699, 324700, 324701.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded to approve check numbers 324698, 699, 700, and 701. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. All opposed nay. Motion carries unanimously.
Then can we have a recess for 15 minutes then?
We can, actually. I think it would be wise in that time frame to contact Linda and find out about the previous RFQ and see what information we can pull back together and continue this discussion along with the discussion of the incorporation of the Hollister School District into the mitigation. We'll stand in recess until 10:15.